Welcome to the Innovative Marketer Podcast, sponsored by Eloqua, an integrated demand generation platform for marketers. And now, here's the Innovative Marketer, Steve Gershick.
Well, hi there, and welcome to this edition of the Innovative Marketer Podcast, the companion piece to the Innovative Marketer blog, which you can find at www.theinnovativemarketer.com. I'm Steve Gershick, and well, one of the really cool things about doing this podcast is that if I read an article in the paper or magazine, I have a pretense for calling up the author and asking them about what they wrote. Like today, for example, I read an article by Ruth P. Stevens in Direct Magazine and thought it was so interesting I'd share her thinking with you. Ruth P. Stevens is an author and lecturer, having taught at NYU and in the MBA program at Columbia University. She's a journalist and wrote a great book recently on trade show marketing, and I spoke with her about marketing in general and the usefulness of event marketing in particular. Please enjoy.
Ruth, thank you for joining me here today.
Very glad to join you. Thank you for inviting me.
What's your background in marketing? How did you get started?
I got into this from the book publishing business, where I had been an editor and found that sitting at a desk all day working on commas and semicolons just didn't take advantage of my natural extroverted nature, and moved into marketing and went to business school. And after that, I was able to get really good training at Book of the Month Club and IBM, and I've had a wonderful career in marketing. I just love it.
What do you love about it?
The best thing is figuring out what people want and giving it to them at a good price. I spent most of my career in direct and database marketing, which I particularly enjoy because it combines the left brain and the right brain. You have to be very analytical, but you also need to come up with new concepts and new ways to reach people. That variety, I think, and it is what appeals to me.
Now, you've written a number of books, one of which is the DMA Lead Generation Handbook.
Yes.
Which is a terrific book. If people haven't read it, they should absolutely have it on their bookshelves. What are the most effective ways of reaching business buyers?
It's interesting in the world of B2B, because the business buyer is looking to solve a problem on behalf of his or her company versus a personal need. The business buyer is generally easier to persuade and more motivated than the average consumer. And this is a pretty blanket statement, but generally...
And some B2B marketers would take exception to that.
Certainly. But if you have a solution that can solve their business problem, then you have a really good chance of getting through to them. So then the question becomes, well, how do you get through? And in most sales environments, business-to-business sales and marketing environments, the marketing role is to enhance the sales role. So most purchasing is done through some kind of personal selling, whether it's face-to-face or over the phone, or through a distributor or whatever. It's done in a traditional sales model. And where marketing is involved is in helping make that sales process more productive. And one of the big contributions that we marketers can make to the sales process is providing qualified leads that help shorten the sales cycle. And everything else that marketers do is similarly about, you know, enhancing the sales process, making it faster, cheaper, better. So we marketers are always seeking to find business buyers when they are ready to either identify a need or select a short list or develop a solution for their problems. And that means that the media channels through which we can reach them are fairly straightforward. These days, with the arrival of the Internet, most business buyers who are trying to solve a problem are conducting an Internet search. So Search engine marketing and search engine optimization techniques are literally the number one method, only burst on the scene in the last 10 years, but that is the best way to find buyers at the point where they're trying to solve a problem. Other than that, though, the traditional tools of outbound communications, namely phone and mail, are still the workhorse media for lead generation and B2B.
What's the biggest mistake? You've been around marketing your entire professional life. What's the biggest mistake that you see marketers make?
Oh, there are so many. There, one that comes to mind on the subject, relating to the subject of outbound lead generation communications, is the lack of a compelling offer. It's interesting to me how myopic marketers can get when they think about their products and services. They'll say, you know, if we just tell them about our widget and how great it is, they're gonna want it. So they fail to follow the standard, classic, time-honored technique of providing an incentive. And it doesn't need to be price-based. It needs to be some motivator to overcome the natural inertia of all human beings, whether they're business in business or in their homes. And that's the role of an offer, to motivate a response. Because without that response, we can't get the lead funnel, the lead process in development.
What are some other types of things that people should avoid doing in their outbound marketing?
Not having an offer is very typical. But the other thing that I see that is a real problem is misapplication of the marketing tactic or channel. Let me give you an example. I recently spent about 2 years researching the trade show and business event world because I recognized that business marketers are spending upwards of somewhere between 15 and 50% of their budgets on exhibiting at trade shows and conducting proprietary corporate events. And I thought that there might be worth looking into. And sure enough, I found that in trade show marketing, a common error is a lack of targeting, that businesses will say, well, I need to go exhibit at this show and spend anywhere from 15 to hundreds of thousands of dollars on reaching customers and prospects because I've been there every year and it's my industry show and I have to be there. My competitors are there, and if I'm not there, people will think there's something wrong with me.
And is that the case?
Well, it may be the case, but the real reason to exhibit at any given show is because your customers and prospects are there in large numbers. Going to a show because we always go or because our competitors are there is absolutely the wrong reason. See it every day.
Now, Serious Decisions, which is a research firm, I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yes.
They recently published a study that indicates that trade shows are a poor source of new leads. And what's your experience with trade shows in terms of new lead acquisition?
I'm surprised that they concluded that in such a blanket way. It could be that there is so much, because there is so much bad behavior among the trade show marketing world, that they're not being effective in new prospecting at trade shows. However, if it's done properly with the right strategy, the right pre-show promotions, the right activities at the show, and the right post-show follow-up, trade shows can actually be a hugely productive part of a business-to-business marketing strategy. Now, of course, the corollary is that if you do it wrong, because the dollars are so big, you can risk an awful lot and lose many shirts in the process. But if it's done right, trade shows can be an enormously productive way to generate new customers, as well as nurture your current customer relationships. And of course, the reason that that trade shows work so well is that so much of business-to-business marketing involves face-to-face contact. It's kicking off a relationship, and the interaction between two people, a buyer and a seller, in a face-to-face environment is an enormous way to kick off and nurture that relationship. And if your salespeople wanted to have 300 conversations with industry buyers, it would take them months of flying around the country to do that. But if at a show, if you organize it properly, use the time well, you can have those 300 conversations over a 3-day period in a single city, and it's much more efficient.
You talked about pre-show planning and strategizing, and I think a lot of marketers do not have the orientation that the trade show is just one piece of a larger campaign.
It certainly is. I use the iceberg image there because we get so tied up with the logistics of the event itself, the 3 days that we're going to be in Las Vegas or Chicago or whatever, and we forget that it needs to be part of probably a 6 or even 9 month end-to-end process that begins many months in advance of those 3 days and doesn't end, may not ever end, but certainly it involves a lot of activity when you get back from Las Vegas. And the only way to optimize the value of those 3 days that seem to be the focus is to consider them a part of a much larger campaign.
And what are some of the key attributes of effective trade show campaigns?
There's a lot involved, but if you asked me, say, a couple of ways to gain additional leverage, the first I would point to is pre-show promotion. And the reason is that if we're trying to have 300 conversations for our employees, our salespeople and our marketing people with qualified or at least potentially qualified prospects during those 3 days, we need to set up those appointments in advance. We can't be standing at the booth waiting for all these random passers-by to self-identify and hope to take advantage of the fact that they're in the city, but they may never stop by our booth in the course of the 3 days. So pre-show promotions allow you to essentially make the best use of your time on the show floor. Then at the show, the single best dollar that you can spend is on staff training. So interesting that the great booth staffer in the world of trade shows is actually made, not born. And with an investment of literally just a couple $1,000s, you can actually quadruple the productivity of the booth staffer by teaching them the techniques of engagement and disengagement that will allow them to have those 300 conversations in a sequence, in succession, to capture the information that's needed for post-show follow-up and put the best face of your company forward at the booth. Another technique for making the time at the booth productive, signage. I think you would agree as you walk up and down the aisles of a trade show floor, it's often very hard to figure out what the company that's exhibiting actually does and why you should care. The words that you choose, and of course the size of the type and the legibility from 30 feet is also important, but the words that you choose are crucial to, number one, attracting the passersby who may be of interest to you, and number two, repelling the passersby who would never be a prospect. So an example might be if you're selling widgets to dental offices, I'm making this up, your signage might say, the best widgets for small dental offices. And what that tells us is how great our widgets are, but more important, it tells the passerby that if you are anything other than a small dental office, don't even bother coming up here.
Let's talk about a couple of other tactics that have gained some notoriety in recent years. What's your opinion of webinars versus live seminars and reaching out to prospects?
Interesting. You know, three or four years ago, I was a big fan of webinars because they very obviously allow lower cost, hugely increased flexibility, a way to deliver rich information about products and services, usually toward the later end of the sales cycle. In the last 12 or 18 months, I feel like the webinar golden goose is sort of at the end of its life. The medium has taken on an image of basically being a sales pitch versus real information that will help me solve my problems. And the response rates are declining. Even worse, the attendance rates are abysmal. If you recruit 100 people to register, as few as 30 will show up. It's appalling in that respect. I think they still have a place if you have a bunch of prospects who need to grasp a lot of additional detail about your product or service, and you use them at the point in the sales pipeline where they need that information. But as a prospecting tool or earlier in the sales cycle, I think they've gotten a bit tarnished recently.
And contrast that with a live seminar or what some people call a roadshow.
Yes, the roadshow still, I think, has potential. The cost per contact of a roadshow, though, is just outrageous. It's going to be anywhere from $350 to $500 per person by the time you pack in the cost of travel, not to mention the coffee and donuts. But at the same time, there's a wonderful role to be had by face-to-face contact. The same argument I was making in the world of trade shows. Roadshows, I believe, still have a place in the business-to-business marketing mix. They're, with the arrival of webinars, they I think have taken a hit. They've declined, but there's nothing like face-to-face contact for selling and persuasion.
Bruce Stevens, author, teacher, consultant, thank you for joining me today.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Innovative Marketer Podcast. The Innovative Marketer is sponsored by Eloqua. Eloqua provides an integrated demand generation platform for executing, automating, and measuring highly effective business-to-business marketing programs. Unlike standalone email products, Eloqua's conversion suite combines email, direct mail, chat, and website analytics to drive the entire marketing process from contact to close while making prospect interest and intent visible at every step. Eloqua is a registered trademark of Eloqua Corporation. Copyright 2006, all rights reserved.